Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's truly an honor to be here this morning. Again, I want to quickly honor our father and our mother this morning. A man of God indeed. The virtues of the Spirit that flows from and through him is truly tangible. From very first interaction, you can sense that this one is a man of God. With his stature, his rank in ministry, somebody like me shouldn't even be here in the first place. But we bless God for his life. Can we celebrate God's servant, Pastor Abimbo and Pastor Mrs. Olabisi Komolafe? Thank you so much, sir, for beaming the light of God in the United Kingdom. This morning, I'm honored to be meeting for the first time in person, a minstrel, a voice over the body of Christ and the nations for decades. Can we please celebrate our mother in the house this morning and his dear husband, Pastor Soji and Mama Soji Alabi. Thank you so much. We are so honored to have you. You are a blessing and we bless God for you. Can we honor the regional Mama in the house? Thank you, Mommy. It's an honor to have you. And of course, all the ministers of the gospel, can we please honor them? Thank you for coming. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This morning, we trust God for an outpouring. God visited us heavily yesterday. At a point, we almost lost the service. I'll try as much as possible to teach for a while. And then we see what God will do this morning. But I know God will exceed your expectations. Amen. Can we lift our hands toward heaven one more time and just talk to the Lord? There may be 8 billion people in the world, but God wants to hear you personally. Intimacy is the heaviest molecule of existence. You'll be judged, you'll be defined from the place of intimacy. Who you are, what you do, is a function of the depth of intimacy you have with the Lord. Can you please ask him this morning to help you, to draw you deeper, to show you more of him, and to grant you the grace to manifest him? Just talk to me.
mighty on your throne.
You reign, you reign, you reign.
You reign, you ancient Zion King, Kadosh, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne.
You reign, you reign, you reign.
You reign, you ancient Zion King, Kadosh, Kadosh.
You know, sometimes when you begin to interact with God, you will discover walls will fail you. Walls will fail you. When He begins to unveil His majesty, His splendor, His excellency, you will see the futility of words. You just chant in the Holy Ghost. You can't. Jesus summarized His ministry in John 17 verse 6. And He said, I have manifested your name to them. The whole of His ministry was an attempt to manifest the name of God. You see, the angels in heaven, they are ancient beings. They were created in eternity. And so there is no time in their reference. And so their interaction with God transcends time. But in all of their being and existence, they've not been able to give God a name. When they say holy, holy means you are separated into your class. They don't know how to define Him. Because the 24 elders who happens to be in closest proximity to God, when they look at Him and they feel they've exhausted Him, they want to sit on their throne. And they look again, they see something different from what they've seen. So they fall down. They worship, they stand up to sit. When they sit again, they look and they see another thing. So for aeons, they've not been able to sit on the throne that was prepared for them. Hey, ya, hey, ya, 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 ya, hey, hey, ya, hey, ya,
hey, ya, hey, ya, ya. Hey ya, hey ya, hey ya, hey ya.
Those beings are not angels. An angel is a messenger. The word angel is the word angelos. It's a messenger, one that is sent. The guys sitting on the throne are not angels. They are called elders. Now, two questions you should ask yourself is, number one, if there is no time, what is the basis for becoming an elder? If there is no time, there is no chronology, what is the basis for becoming an elder? When you study the scripture, the Bible said, I write unto you elders, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. So an elder is one who is in apprehension of the knowledge of God. Now if an elder who is in God's presence for a year cannot define Him, what magnitude of glory is that? We just chant, we just chant, we just chant. Hey ya, hey ya, hey ya, hey ya, hey ya, hey, hey ya, hey ya,
hey ya, hey ya, hey ya, hey ya, hey ya, hey ya, hey ya, hey ya, hey ya,
hey
ya,
hey
ya.
Now, you see, the glory of God is so much that the Bible says God dwells in light that is unapproachable.
What they see in heaven is a dimension that it reveals. That's why you need a throne. A throne actually is a system of the spirit that reveals dimensions. The authority of God, the excellency of God. Because the totality of God cannot be trapped in creation. So measures of his glory has to come into heaven. Has to come into heaven. That's why he needed a throne there. Not because God necessarily needs to sit. Which seat can carry him? Which seat? Even the seat is created. Where the seat is kept is created. So how can he be carried in the seat that is in what he created? It's too boisterous. He decides to release measures of his glory into heaven from time to time. That's what the elders worship. Now, this same God that excels in glory now began to look for a way of putting all his glory together, because heaven can't contain him, the throne can't contain him, nothing can contain him. And so God went back to the studio of eternity, and he delved into his wisdom, and he was looking for what he would create to contain the whole of him. And he said, let us make man in our own image, after his likeness. And he decided to put his glory inside of the man. So what is man? What is man? When you appear before God, it's a communion between one dimension of him and another dimension of him. So when you worship God, you are not doing God a favor. When you worship God, you are activating your elements, the propensities of God that is on your inside. Can you lift your hands and worship this one? One more time and honor the Lord. You are not an ordinary person. You were created in the image and in the likeness of God. Worship is an economy of the throne room. It is intercourse between creator and creator. It is communion between God and man. Communion, the transfer of grace and affection, the movements of glory from one corridor to the other. Can you please pour out that glory to him? Pour out that glory to him. Pour out that glory. Pare kebatone palagata, sagaya talina maragane, sezele paragato sazina pai. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you glory. We give you glory. We honor you, Lord. We bless your name. Have your way this morning, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. From somebody's belly, the glory of God will flow like a river. It will start taking over systems. It will start affecting territories. There is something on your inside. That's why I said Christ in you is the hope of glory. God dwells there. The fullness of God dwells there. You are not limited. You just need to allow it flow. Let it flow. Thank you, Father. Rivers of living water, for out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water, so out of my belly Out of my belly shall flow fire. My belly shall flow rivers. Rivers of living waters. La 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 la. Lift your hands one more time and honor the name of the Lord. There is a weight of glory descending here. Please be sensitive. Don't program God. He's too big for human programs. Don't program God. There's a weight of glory descending here. The hand of God is upon a few of you already, because He wants to manifest His virtues through you. He wants to manifest His power through you. Both in this auditorium and in the overflow, even online, the hand of God. The hand of God. My goodness. Ushers, will you help me this morning? I don't want to rob you of what God wants to do. I see a light descend on people. At least three of you, there is a word of glory come upon you now. Father, wherever these ones are, they should take of it now. Take of it now. Take of that glory now. Drink of that water. I release it upon you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' precious name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Please be seated for a moment. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you, Father. This morning, very quickly, I want to share with us on the protocol of emitting the light of God. Last night, we were able to establish two major emphases. The first is the fact that the world is covered with darkness. In Isaiah chapter 60 from verse 1, it says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come." And I told us, just in case you take that counsel for granted, He gave us the reason why it's needful for us to arise and shine. He said, "For darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people." Darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. And in case you assume darkness is the shade that comes in the evening, the scripture differs on that perspective. In Psalm 74 verse 20, it said, "The dark places of the earth is the habitation of cruelty." So darkness is not just absence of a flash. It is the expression, the manifestation of all the devil has to offer. And when you study the person of the devil, there's no good in him. In John chapter 10 verse 10, it said, "The devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy." And so if you are looking for the definition of darkness, it is death, it is destruction, and it is absolute depravity. You see, the intelligence of the demonic realm is so subtle that a man can be in darkness, he's not even aware. In fact, it was Paul speaking in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3. He said, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And they are lost because the God of this world have blinded their minds from accepting the glorious gospel, which is the image of the invincible God. If you are in a place like the United Kingdom, for instance, you be making the erroneous assumption that darkness is in Africa. Because you hear of sickness, you hear of death. Anything that erodes the quality of the soul is darkness. And so when you find people who are so depraved to think it is natural to love somebody of the same gender, something is wrong. There is darkness. Because the emotion is now manipulated. And he may never realize it until he departs from this body and appear before the light of God. And that will be too late because it will be outside time. It will be in eternity. There will be no opportunity to come back to relieve the life because that is not captured in God's agenda. And so there are dimensions of darkness so weaved in demonic intelligence that men may not know. When you live only to have food to eat, you are in darkness. Because man was not created to live for food. The essence of our being is superior to what we eat. In fact, man fell because of his appetite for food. The great fall is a product of food. And today, people walk round the clock. You ask them, they don't even have time for God. They say they are busy, there's no time. When you are talking, they say, you don't understand. If you were in the UK, you would have known. The question is, who works for 12 hours in a day? If you are working from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., that's 12 hours. Even if you were able to work that hard, you still have 12 hours to spare. So work is not an excuse. The reason you can't find the energy to seek God is because darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. So you don't know what matters anymore. And you may have a PhD and don't know what matters. Because you may think what matters is what to eat and drink. And then there are those who are even more debased. They think that value in life is in things. And so they pride themselves in their certificate, pride themselves in the building, the mansion they live in, the cars they drive. It's called the pride of life. Your value is not in things. You are a lord over things. Your value is in God. The moment you can define a man's essence from what he has, he is falling. If you want to define a man, you should define him from the glory. This is how much of God he carries. This is how much of God he exudes. His quality and his essence cannot be defined by a material thing. A material thing that you see today and tomorrow is no more. That's an ebbing life, a life that wastes. The best of cars 20 years ago are outdated today. Just 20 years to show you the frailty of materiality. How can you then be defined by material things? The clothes they were wearing 10 years ago is out fashion today, outdated. How can you be defined by what you wear? The only way you can define a man is by the dimensions of glory that flows from the realms of God. When you can trace a man to his God, that man indeed has value. But what darkness comes to do is to blind you, to make you define your essence in things. It's a debased level of life. We are bigger than that. We were not created in the image of things. When he said to create man, he said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion. This is why Paul speaking in Colossians 1:26, he said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. So a man's value is not outside him, it's inside him. It's Christ in you that defines you. But it will take light to come into that level of understanding. And so the Bible said, darkness will denature, darkness will undermine, and darkness will reduce the value of men walking on the face of the earth. This is why men became mortals. We were created to be immortal beings because we're created in the image of God. But when we departed from God in rebellion and began to define our essence in things, disobeying God, we became fallen beings. Mortality is corruption. But we're created to live above corruption. But darkness came. And when darkness came, it blinded men. It denatured men. He reduced the potentials of men. But you see, God wants men to rise up, to come back to that corridor of glory and live from that ascended reality. To live from that realm that cannot be bought with money. To live from that realm that cannot be defined based on human standard. That realm that is the God realm. That's where we are ordained to live from. Praise the Lord. And so when man fell, there was nothing he could do about himself and his situation. Money couldn't restore him. Human connection couldn't restore him. It had to take God to come back from glory to take man back to glory. Because there is no price for glory. It's beyond human value system. And so when Jesus came, his attempt is to restore you back to the realm of God. And the reason we are studying light in particular and radiation as an emphasis is because one of the cardinal essence of God is light. He said God is light. This is the message that we have received, that God is light. So any man who is restored by God is supposed to come into the economy of light. If we don't walk in light, it means we are still in darkness. But thanks be to God for sending his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, paying the price to restore us from darkness. And now, for every one of us that have received Jesus as his Lord and Savior, it now behoves you to walk in light. It's your responsibility to walk in light. And I said, walking in light has a protocol. Walking in light is not wished. It is lived. Walking in light is practiced. Walking in light is exercised. It's not something you desire and it happens. It has to be backed up with spiritual responsibility. And if you know the significance of this reality, nothing will take your time from engaging it. And I said yesterday, it's possible for us to walk in light because, number one, we are children of light. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 5, it says we are the children of light. So everyone who is born of God is a child of light. If that light is not shining, it's because he has not let it. And that's why Jesus gave a commandment. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may glorify your heavenly Father. What it means is, when your light is shining, they won't trace it to the university you went to. When your light is shining, they won't trace it to anything human. They will trace it to God. Because they will know what you are doing is supernatural. Thank God for training. Thank God for human value systems that are good and morally right. But over and above human value system, when a man's light begins to shine, the only thing that will be referenced is God. And that's why I say when your light shines, they will glorify your heavenly Father. Because they will now trace you to God. They won't trace you to things. But you will first of all be able to showcase that light because you have the DNA of light. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He said, he that walketh with me will not walk in darkness, but we have the light of life. And he went further in John 5:14. He said, you now are the light of the world. And so when you are born of God, you become what God is. And when you become the light, there's one thing you do. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. And so when you begin to diffuse darkness, people will trace to you and declare that this one is of God. In fact, the point will come when people need what men can't give, they will look for you. Your life has to come to that point where when men seek God, they find you. And if they find you, they find God. Paul said, be a follower of me. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Even as I am the follower of Christ. So anything that takes God to be done, if they see you, they get it. When Jesus sent us out, he said, go into all the world as witnesses unto me. You are the exhibit that God is not fake. You are the proof that God is not a liar. And so when men are hopeless, you become their hope. When men are depressed, you become their liberty. When men are dying, you become their life. That can only happen when you are emitting the light of God. But I said that anchors on the fact that you are the child of light.
Number two, I said purpose can only be realized when our light comes and we begin to shine. Because outside of light, there's no purpose. That thing you are doing with all your heart may be error. Paul was going about killing the church, and he was succeeding in it. He was famous in it. He was renowned for it. But he was outside of purpose, because his job was to build the church. When he entered purpose, he called himself a wise master builder. But he was expending energy, destroying the church that he was born to build. He never knew. There are many persons today who are succeeding, but what they call success is not written in the chronicles of heaven. If you have not seen light, you will not know what was said. God is a very organized God. He said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, not before you were born, before you were conceived, he said, I knew you, and I already ordained and sanctified you to walk in a particular order. It will take light for you to find out that thing that was written concerning you. You are not coming to earth to be creative. You are coming to earth to live out a purpose. And that purpose, only within the confines of light, can it be isolated. And so I said, a man will remain in darkness, no matter how successful, except as he sees light. Did you read the story of the wise fool? He was wealthy. His barns were filled. And he said, now my soul will rest. He doesn't even know the meaning of rest. Do you know how a soul rests? A soul does not rest because it's sleepy. A soul rests because it's in God's presence. You are outside of God's presence. How are you talking about rest? You don't believe in God. What is rest? And God said, you fool, tonight your soul will be demanded of you. And when he was summoned, he discovered he was gathering and filling his barns, but his portion was in Hades. And he went to a place of absolute depravity. And the rich man was asking for a drop of water, because he didn't live life from the plane of light. He was succeeding according to human standard, but he was not succeeding according to God's standard. May you not succeed according to human standard. Men may be clapping, but you are in error. Until light comes. This is why Jesus was being crucified, but it was God's purpose. Everybody rejected him, but in the eyes of God, he was being enthroned. The applause of men is not divine validation. It will take light to tell you that you are going in the right direction. And I said, if you are in the wrong direction, speed is not an advantage. So it's not about how fast you are running. It's about the right direction first. And it will take light for you to come into that. In order not to overbuttress what I've said yesterday, I began to show us what to do, having contacted light, to emit this light. And I said, the first thing to do is to behold him. Because we are not the source of light. We are conductors of light. God is the source of light. And I said, according to scriptural programming, anytime you behold God, you emit God. That's how it is designed. Anytime you behold God, you are changed into the God dimension. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, we all with open faces, beholding as in a glass the image of the Lord. He said, we are changed into that image from glory to glory. And so when you see men and you can't find God in them or trace God to what they are doing, it's because they've not beheld him. And when you start beholding God, you will see that there are many realities in God. This world was created by God. So God knows much more than physics. Physics is just the discovery of the laws of nature and how things work. The one who set the law in motion himself is bigger than the physics. And so you can't behold God and fail in physics. You can't behold God and fail in life. All of the businesses we indulge ourselves in, that is taking too much of our time, that makes it impossible for us to find time for God, those businesses, God authored them. Because if anything is not within creation, it can never manifest. And so it's possible to excel in business and lose God. But it's not possible to excel in God and lose your business. If you are excelling in business outside of God, your heart will become dark. A point will come when you start compromising. A point will come when you start taking pride in your success. But if you are excelling in God, in addition to your excelling in God, God will cause you to prosper in your business. He said, I have not called the seed of Jacob to seek me in vain. In your studies, as you seek God, you excel in it. in your political career, as you seek God, you excel in it. In fact, you excel in it over and above human standard. We saw in Daniel chapter 1 from verse 8, they had the opportunity of defining themselves with the portion of the king's meat. They would have become favored before the keeper. But they said Daniel and his friends proposed in their heart that they will not defy themselves. A point came in verse 17. The Bible said, of all that the king demanded of them, he said Daniel and his friends were 10 times better than their peers. So their seeking God did not rob them of the advantage they needed in human economy. Their seeking God rather gave them a superior advantage that they were not just better, they were 10 times better. A point came that the puzzle that the nation could not answer, Daniel came, answered it casually. His hand appeared and wrote on the wall and they couldn't read it. When Daniel came, he did not just read it, but he interpreted it and it happened. So a man can become a national solution if he keeps beholding God and is being changed into God. Because in God is wisdom. In God is power. In God is favor. In God is life. Everything you need for a successful life is in God. But it will take seeking to access those things. And the beautiful thing about beholding Him is you are not just accessing those things, you are becoming those things. Because it's transformation before possession. The moment you are transformed, you already have it. And when you go to a place, you will discover that accuracy and perfection becomes natural to you. You can deploy the things you studied. You can deploy the things you gained by experience. But over and above that, there is a God element on your inside that suffices you beyond the things you have studied and the things you've picked by experience. When there is a need for an answer, even if it is not within the corridors of men, you can produce it. When the king told them to go and tell his dream, the wise men spoke. They say it's not given to men to tell these things. This kind of thing, men don't have such powers. Daniel said, give us time. Because we have beyond what men have. Even if it is not within the reach of men, in God we can find it. And he said it was revealed to him in the vision of the night. I prophesy to somebody here today, every area of your life where you are lacking and losing the advantage, you are restored to it now. And so when we behold him, we are changed. The first way to radiate, the first way to emit God, the first way to emit excellence, the first way to emit wisdom, unfathomable, the first way to emit power is by beholding him. Because he's the source of all things. And it's a law in the spirit that what you see, you become. If you see Facebook, you become Facebook. If you see TikTok, you become TikTok. Whether you like it or not, it's a law. The things you see, you become. Our world is littered with wardom today because of the things we see. People heap pornography in their movies, in their phones, explore pornographic sites, and they are wondering why they can't live holy. You become what you see. You can't change it. It's giggle. You garbage in, you garbage out. You are who you see. You are what you see. You are what you hear. And so if you want to manifest God, see God. He said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. He said, it does not yet appear what we shall be like. He said, but when we shall see him, we shall be like him. You can't see God and be otherwise. And God cannot appear in that your circumstance and you still fail. And so the reason you are failing is because God is not there. And if God is there, you cannot but excel. But what will bring the fullness of God there is your preoccupation in beholding him. Balaam was called to curse Israel. And he had a reputation. Whoever he curses is cursed. Whoever he blesses is blessed. When he showed up, he tried many times, he couldn't. And he began to testify. He said, there is no enchantment against Israel. There is no divination against Jacob. Not because Israel is praying and fasting. He said, because the voice of the king is in their midst. When God is with you, you can't fail. You can't be cursed. You can't diminish. Because God is an excelling glory. But what will make God take over your space is as we are with unveiled faces, beholding as in the glass the image of the Lord. You don't behold, you can't find God. Many destinies are wasted because there is no God element there. When you are born again, what is left is for you to meet God. But it will take beholding for that to happen. How do you behold Him? You behold Him through His word. He said, from the days of thy youth, He said, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation. You find people going into marriage and they are watching Kardashian. You want to bring an act to reality. Are you not a joker? They don't know what the word says. And so that marriage, anything can happen. Because they've not secured that marriage. They've not built the boundaries for that marriage. Somebody is going for an interview and is hoping on luck. You know what that means? There are over 7.73 billion people in the world. If people were to live by luck, when would be your turn? Do you know how many persons coming for that interview hoping they will be lucky? If they group all of you who are trusting on luck, you will be more than the position. And so instead of going and trusting in luck, behold and come with favor. And then you will see a power. Favor does not just open your heaven. Favor commands the allegiance of men. When Esther was to go into the king, she needed to buy favor. Because she knows it takes so much to change the laws of a land. You are in the United Kingdom. Do you know the powers that are here? This is one of the oldest civilizations in the world. One of the oldest. They've had governments upon governments, policies upon policies. You can't just throw into this ancient civilization and hope to create change. The system will vomit you. Do you know how ancient it is? When you are flying into this country, even from the arrangement of the building, you will know that this is not a system to take for granted. Every building is in line. The alignment is as though they use the ruler to arrange. Is it that order? That order. You think you can just come and discomfit? Buildings are so much order. And you stroll in, you say, we will take this land. Which land? In 6 months, we sink. That's why many pastors came here from Africa. In 3 months, they have tattoos all over themselves. They now discover that it's better to sell on Sunday morning. So they shut church down and became traders. They didn't know that there's an ancient spirit that dwells here. And you need to come with weights of glory to be able to survive first before you even take over. Look at the economic system. The pounds have remained the strongest currency in the world for aeons. You were born to meet it so. When you leave, it remains so. Do you know the powers that keep that in place? If it shifts, in a matter of weeks, the prime minister can go for the pound to be restored. Because of how ancient this government is. Look at the security system. A small nation in an island colonized almost half of the world. What intelligence is at work? How did they know that they needed to go from one border to another and enslave the people and cause them to bow to their own king? Do you not know that these people understand the ways of kingdom? They have perfected it. And it's not something they do spontaneously. They've documented it in books. They've formed policies out of it. Shape the world. Many nations today speak their language as their own language. In fact, you even take pride that you speak it well. Hello, how you doing? I just got some groceries and I'm done. Yeah, I just got BA from the university. I'm doing well. And you feel so good. That is to tell you how ancient the wisdom that rules this territory is. Even naturally, there are many things that find their origin from here. Time begins here. Time, the reference of time in the natural begins here. And you come to this kind of ancient civilization, you think the little wisdom you glean from a book can affect this land. You need to meet a spirit that is more ancient than this government. A spirit. And that spirit is the one who sat when the Bible said the earth
was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the spirit didn't need to walk. He didn't need to be anxious. He said, light be. Light appeared. That's the spirit that has the power to turn the system upside down so that his dominion can be restored. There's no study of philosophy or physics that can affect this civilization. It's older than physics. It's older than your great grandfathers. And it doesn't have regard for the nation you came from. It colonized a large part of the earth. The only power that can shape things here is the power that dwells in light. And many persons don't behold him. That's why instead of being transformed into the nature of God, they are transformed into the system. And they become godless. They become weak. Many persons can't even pray for 5 minutes. If you don't pray, how do you now connect to heaven? How do you talk to your God? How do you breathe in a city that is so choked with all forms of idolatry? Some worship football in this kind of city that there's so much energy.
He said, we all with unveiled faces, beholding us in a glass, the image of the Lord, we are changed.
The glory that is locked in your spirit will not manifest until you behold. And so every believer, every Christian who is sustaining any hope to overtake, overrun, or to bring the impact of God's government to this land must first of all behold him and be changed. This is what the patriarchs knew. Moses wanted to touch Egypt. He didn't have understanding. He thought because he was in the palace and he had one or two privileges, he could touch Egypt. See, that's the problem many Christians have. Because you now have a job, you are a head of department. You now come and say, we want to change something. They will say, because you are head of department, you are head of pediatric unit. So because you are head of pediatric unit, you come with rules. They will, that's when they will look at you closely. I said, where are you from? The next day they will say, there's something wrong with your residency. They have to withdraw your visa. The land will vomit you. Moses came and killed an Egyptian, buried him. The moment he tried it, the anger of Pharaoh rose. Moses knew he had to run for his life because he wanted to take action before beholding. And if you do that, the city, the vengeance, the venom, the powers that hold the foundation and the pillars of the civilization will come against you. They will discover you are naked. And Moses had to run to Horeb, the mountain of God. It was in Horeb that he beheld him. The Bible said he walked into Horeb in Exodus 3 verse 1, the mountain of God. And he came to a bush burning that was not consumed. Because when you behold him, you will see things that your civilization is not ancient enough to understand. Because even though Egypt was ancient, there's no technology in Egypt that will cause a bush to burn and not be consumed. So God will show you that the powers here is superior to the natural powers. And he said that we turn to behold this sight. Immediately he heard Moses. Take off your sandals. Where you are standing is holy ground. He had to begin to obey a new protocol. He had to be brought under a new law, under a new government. It was from there that the monarch of Zion told him, go back to Pharaoh. Where you ran from? Moses' question was, how can I go back to where I ran from? Even the elders of Israel will kill me. No matter what I say, they won't believe. How can I go back? And then God began to show him transformation. He said, drop your staff. And the staff became a serpent. And he told him, pick it by the tail. See, this is why you need to meet God for yourself. Because if you make the mistake of saying, me too, I am Moses' partner. If you pick the staff from the head, it will bite you. We all must behold for ourselves. He said, pick it by the tail. He picked it, he became a staff. Put your hand in between yourself. He put his hand, he brought it out, it was leprous. Put it back, it became normal. The water you have, pour it on the ground, it became blood. He said, go. When they ask you, tell them, I am that I am, have sent you. It also means, I would be what I will be, have sent you. What it means is, anything you call him, that's what he is. What it means is, he's ever present. Anytime you call him, he's there. So because of this, there's now an insurance, an impregnable fortress built around you. On the strength of that, you can go to Egypt. And Moses came to Egypt with his staff.
He didn't need to come with a government. He didn't need to come with an economic system. He came with his staff. That one is a weapon from the presence. And with his staff, he brought down Egypt. No civilization is too old if you will come from the womb of light. No civilization is too old if you meet him that is called the Ancient of Days. No civilization is too old if you meet the one that authored creation. The reason it looks as if you are about to be edged out in that job is because you have not seen him. When you see him, you will know that the heart of the king is in his hands. He can turn it. He can turn it in any direction. Your boss is not as powerful. You are only coming with suit. That's why he looks powerful. Come from light. When you come from light, even Pharaoh, you can threaten him. Because the point came, Moses told Pharaoh, he said, you will not see me again. Who talks to a king like that? It's supposed to be a privilege to see a king. But when you have seen the King of Kings, every king on earth is a boy. You will not see me again. And that night, Pharaoh did not sleep. He said, go and tell Moses, let him go with his people. When they were going, he thought he made a mistake. Maybe this guy manipulated. This is not manipulation. This is power. This is power. Power that can be demonstrated any day, anytime. And Pharaoh took his army and started pursuing them. When they came to the Red Sea, Moses said, Lord, deliver us. He said, why do you cry to me? Go forward. And he said, as Moses stretched his rod, he said, with a blast of his nostrils, he parted the Red Sea. And he said, Israel walked on dry ground. When the Egyptians tried to do it, they were drowned. You can bring the kingdom of God to London. You can bring the kingdom of God to Manchester. You can bring the kingdom of God to any part of the United Kingdom. But what have you seen? What have you beheld? What do you carry? If you don't carry anything, trust me, it will take time. They will swallow you up. After 10 years, you will not recognize yourself. And you may not even know that you are lost. But God has sent us to this territory not to survive. We didn't come here in pursuit of pounds. You may think you came because you were looking for a better life. Your steps were manipulated. You were manipulated. Saul was looking for his father's smiting asses. The Bible said the night before, God told Samuel, the man that you see, anoint him as king. You were manipulated because there's a part you need to bring into the table. There's a quorum needed to bring a witness over the land. That's why you came. Yours may be a voice. Yours may be a message. Yours may be a career. Whatever it is that brought you, you have a part to play. Glory must be contributed until the intensity of light becomes so heavy that the system bow. And Jesus is enthroned again. That's why you came. You came as an emissary. You came as an envoy of heaven. And it doesn't matter from which part of the world you came from. You might even be born here. But the glory of God must shine over this nation. That's why you came. And this is the reason for this conference. That men who can radiate the light, men who can radiate the glory, we emerge. That when we meet in a hospital, we bring Christ there. When we meet in a stadium, we bring Christ there. Wherever we meet, we can bring Jesus. Because if Moses did it, if Daniel did it, if Jonah did it, then you can do it. Because it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by the Spirit of the living God. He said, according as it is written, they believed. They believed. He said, we also, having the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore we speak. If Deborah was able to do it, then gender is not a factor. You don't have to be male or female. You just have to carry God. If you carry God, your age is not a factor. Your sex is not a factor. Your skin color is not a factor. There is something that comes upon you that defies human standard. This morning, somebody will touch something. Adosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign. Kadosh, you are mighty. You reign. Anybody and everybody sitting here can become very instrumental in the hands of God of restoring His glory to this land.
He doesn't take anything natural. He takes everything supernatural. But there's a protocol. And very quickly, I want to relate this protocol. For those whose heart to be open, something divine will begin to flow out of them. See, you know the way God shows His excellency is in doing it through the people who think they are not qualified. Or those who are even against it. Somebody may be watching me here and say, oh, this Christianity is tough. I'm not giving to it. I'm not... I love the way they worship, but I'm not part of it. Wait until the hand of God comes on you. The hand. When the hand of God comes on you, your will will bend. Saul was a murderer. When the hand of God came on him, he became an apostle. A point came, the Bible said, Paul and Barnabas. He said, they are men that hazarded their lives. They were willing to take risk for what they once fought. Something they stood against, an encounter broke him. And for all ages, the name of Paul is golden. For all eternity, he will be remembered as one of the brightest warriors of Christ. But he was once a murderer and a rebellious person. I don't care where you are. I don't care what you do. I know the power of God. It can uproot the most hardened of us. It can turn the heart of anyone and energize it. There are some of you here, you are hearing, and you say, I would have loved to, but I don't know why I can't. Nobody is doing it because he can. He said, I've continued to this day because the Lord has helped me. Everybody doing it is helped. You stand up in the night, you want to pray, you sleep, wait until fire come on you. Even when you close your eyes, you'll be speaking in tongues. And it's not just about speaking in tongues. You will go to your office, a wisdom will overtake you. And you will start thinking the way men don't think. And that wisdom will exhort you. But the goal is not just to bring you to a place where you receive a fat salary. It's to bring you to a place where you can also participate in making policies. And you will now create policies that create a window for the move of God. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty. You reign, you reign, you reign. The first protocol for emitting the light of God is inspiration. You have to be inspired. And even God knows. Many times, when you see people doing mighty things for God, either in full-time ministry or ministry in the sectors or the stratas of human engagement, there was a point where they caught an inspiration. That inspiration is what renavigates you. Everybody will go his own way. He said, all we like sheep have gone our own ways. Every man will choose his own way because rebellion is ingrained in our souls. On account of the fall. What causes a man to have that paradigm shift is an inspiration. When that inspiration hits you, it will reprogram you. And you start going in the direction of God. In Galatians chapter 1 verse 24, Paul, who was a murderer, suddenly became an inspiration for the whole body of Christ. Paul said, when they heard of him, he said they glorified God for his namesake. It will take an inspiration for you to have to turn a new leaf. If that inspiration does not come, you will be so tired, so weak, and appear so helpless in doing that which is right. In fact, you may weep and cry and state how you would have loved to, but not able to, until inspiration comes. Inspiration has within it the power to turn a man around. And to go in the direction of God. And many times, God can use men to inspire you. Many times, God can use circumstances to inspire you. The whole idea is to get your attention. That there is something supernatural around you, and that can happen through you. That you are not all you look like. There is something that can happen within you, that can affect not just your family, but your world. That inspiration will have to come to you at one point or the other. That is where the journey of glory begins from.
You find people too many times, their circumstances have made them stereotyped. They think only in a particular way. When you find a man who has been oppressed before, he cannot think liberty. If you read the story of the 12 spies in Genesis 13 and 14, you don't blame them. They were in Egypt all their lives. They saw pains. They saw oppression. They know the power of Pharaoh. And so you come up overnight, you tell these people that they are going to become great, that they will take over a nation. It was impossible for them. They didn't have sufficient inspiration for that. But there were two men among them that had a different spirit. They had a different inspiration. Why these ones were seeing themselves as grasshoppers before the giants, they were now seeing themselves as warriors and giant killers. It's an inspiration that changes your paradigm. It's an inspiration that changes your thinking process. And that change is what opens you up to glory. But you see, inspiration alone is not enough. Somebody told me, inspire an idiot, he will become an inspired idiot. Inspiration is good, but it's not enough. The moment inspiration hits you and a new frequency begins to stream into you, the next thing to do is to add discipline. Because that inspiration brings energy to your soul. Most of you who came for this conference from last night or the night before, something probably has hit your soul. You've told yourself, as I go back now, I will start praying. I will begin a fast. You told yourself, I will start reading wide. I will become vast. I want to be knowledgeable. You told yourself, I will make money. And money enough to be able to advance God's agenda. That's an inspiration. After you receive that inspiration, you will need discipline to back it up. Because wishful thinking changes nothing. The energy you draw from that inspiration, you have to utilize it and utilize it quickly. This is where many people get it wrong. Paul saw Jesus appeared in his glory. In Acts chapter 9 verse 4 to 6, Jesus himself commissioned Paul. Paul was not commissioned by another man. It was Jesus that told him, rise up, go into the city. You will be told what to do. He didn't see Jesus in the flesh. He saw him in the glory. But that was not enough. In 1 Corinthians 9 verse 25 and verse 27, Paul told us the place of discipline. He said, him that striveth for the mastery is disciplined, is temperate in all things. And in verse 27, he said, I beat my body. I bring it under subjection so that I will not lead others to God and myself is a castaway. So a man can be well inspired but disqualified at the end, because it will take discipline to get there. Many persons, they catch an inspiration. The first 1 week, they are all over the place, enthusiastic, talking big things. After 1 week, because they don't know the place of discipline, they allow that inspiration to die. The first layer of discipline is to separate yourself from anything that does not facilitate that inspiration. That's the first level of discipline. You separate yourself from anything that diffuses and douses the energy of that inspiration. You receive an inspiration to pray, then leave movies alone, because the two don't go together. You receive an inspiration to become wealthy, then leave lasciviousness alone. You may have to reduce going for the match in Old Trafford, because two of them don't work together. Once in a while, you can go there to watch, but you can't be a fan. Because a fan claps for the one who makes the impact. And if you want to be the one making the impact, then you have to do something. If you have an inspiration to be a footballer, then you can sleep in Old Trafford, because that one energizes where you are going. But if your inspiration is to become the best doctor so that you can facilitate policy making process in the medical world, then you have to begin to look for the great scholars in the medical world. You must become disciplined only to do the things that support the energy of your inspiration. Many are inspired, but they don't have discipline. If there's no discipline, inspiration was in vain. This is the journey to glory. Many people see God using people and they say they are lucky. Who told you? Ask the person God is using. Let him tell you how many sleepless nights he's had. On Friday, I was in Ghana, in a place called Pram Pram. It's like 30 minutes from Accra. I ministered from 12 to 3 p.m. I came up again 12 midnight and ministered till 2 a.m. When I finished, I left straight for the airport to catch a flight of 3:40 a.m. in the morning to get to Lagos. I sat down that morning, the flight was delayed. I eventually left around 4:30. I arrived Lagos. Before I came out, immigration and everything, it was 7 a.m. I had to sit again without sleeping to wait to catch Virgin Atlantic to be in London. Another 6 hours. And I landed London. I was picked from London. We drove for 3 hours to Manchester. And 30 minutes later, I was up preaching. The power of God is moving. You say, these people are lucky. For more than 28 hours, I didn't sleep. It takes discipline. Somebody will look at you and say, God is helping this young man. If that is the case, then God is a respecter of persons. But the Bible says it's not a respecter of person. Everybody doing something mighty is paying a great price. From 2012 to 2017, I fasted every day. I didn't appear here. I was made through process. That's 5 years of non-stop fasting. People who stay with me now know, even when I'm not fasting, I can't eat. The stomach has shut down. Because I need to be light to catch inspiration from the Spirit. I need to be volatile so that when the anointing comes upon me, I will ascend like a mist and enter the heavens to pick the heart of the Father. It will take discipline in the area of fasting, discipline in study, discipline in prayer to be able to do this. If God says you are a politician, then you need to understand that every politician that made impact, you must know everything about their lives. You must pattern your life according to their disciplines. That's why the stories of men are told, so that you know the prices that were paid. Because nothing happened. Nothing happens by chance. Everything happening is created. It's made to happen. Many people hide under the comfort of their parents. See, parents need to begin to think like eagles. There's a time when you need to kick that boy out of the house. Go out there and find your future. Because if you stay under my comfort, you are lost. A boy of 25 years is watching movies. And you say you are an inventor. This is why Christianity has become a myopic religious movement. It's not just prayer. It's about taking the systems of this world. And you need to know the area you are engrafted to. If you are a politician at this point and you don't know everything about every prime minister in England, then don't think about the parliament. It takes discipline. When you have caught inspiration, you need discipline. Stop talking and not walking. People are talking, they are not walking. And that's why they talk to old age. And they want to use age to oppress people. Honor the elderly, but don't. Are you following? You have to make your mark. And I'm not saying be disrespectful. Because I know in the UK here, it's possible to look at a man of 70 and say, hello, how you doing? We say it's civilization. An elder is standing, you sit down. Hey, what's going on? You are interacting. You shake another. Hey, what's up, man? What's up, man? You need to come back to Africa for IT. Let's show you some morals. Because if you get educated into arrogance, then you were actually made an illiterate. Morality is superior to brilliance. You come to church, it's the elders that clean the church. You came and sat down. No, it's clean. It's clean. It's a shame. It's a shame. If you are a young man and you operate like that, it's a shame. And you will not learn it until you become old. That's when you will realize your foolishness. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Can I still go ahead? Because the young people are beginning to frown at me. I won't stop. I won't change my confession. In case you didn't hear me, I said, if you operate like that, shame on you. That's what I said. If your mom is the one who washed the dishes, shame on you. You are not educated. You are illiterate in a civilized country. Civility has made you backward. Somebody give the Lord a shout. Now, when you begin to discipline yourself and pressing in the direction of your calling, then something happens. God will now enter this equation to help you. God will now step into the equation to enable you. Moses was determined to deliver Israel. He went the way of his abilities. He went the way of focus, of discipline, of principles. He wanted to do everything humanly possible to deliver Israel. If you continue with discipline and God does not help you, there's a place you will break. Even God knows. The crisis, the challenges, the terror of the devil, something will come along the line. And because God does not want you to break, as you keep pressing, then you enter into encounters. You may start that prayer every day for 1 hour, and you will do it for 6 months. Nothing happens. You are struggling with sleep. You are still praying. God is watching. Because there's a law of consistency in the spirit. He said Jesus did not commit himself to men, for he knew all men. Every spirit will wait to see your desperation, to see your consistency level, to see if you are willing to bear the weight of the ordination you want to walk in. And so God will let you to keep pressing in discipline, in focus, in principles. You keep pressing. A point comes, then God appears. And so the third protocol of the glory is the encounter. And one thing that encounter will do for you is to awaken hunger in your spirit. Hunger is stronger than discipline. If you were to eat food every day by discipline, you will miss your meals many times. Because you can't by discipline eat food for 30 years. But there's an alarm system within you that makes you to eat consistently at a particular time. It's called hunger. And so what God wants to do in order to keep you around the corridor of glory is to inject hunger into your spirit. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 63 from verse 1 to 2, he said, my soul longeth. I'm not the one doing it. This is not my making. Within me there are forces that draws me to you. He said, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. He said, my soul thirsted for thee, my flesh longeth after thee, as in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Something beyond the man has taken over him. Every man walking in the glory, there is a force that took over him at some point. That force is what makes that man unable to stop even when he wants to. It eats him up from within. It's a thirst that cannot be quenched. It's a hunger. Encounters come to awaken hunger. Because there is a measure you need to journey to in order to come out with something. The Bible spoke concerning Moses. He said Moses stepped into the deep darkness where God was. So even when God hid himself, Moses was still seeking. Because he can't go back. He said, we are not of them that draw back unto perdition. There's no future behind. And so something must awaken on your inside to keep you going even when the going gets tough. Encounters come to make you forget. Encounters come to make you forget the former things so that you can press. You can press until you keep seeing the glory and you see more of it. There are many persons who have not sustained and cultured discipline until they came to encounter. It took Moses 40 years to get to Horeb, but he never changed his mind. For 40 years, the guy kept going there. Because Jethro told him, that mountain is called the mountain of God. You know, Jethro is one of the sons of Keturah, who was Abraham's concubine. And so, he was from a lineage that came from Abraham. And Abraham taught his children the way of the Lord. Even Abraham's servants were not normal people. He said Abraham took 318 trained servants. Abraham's servants are trained. And he said Abraham divided himself among them. That's a mystery. So when they were going to war, there were not 319 people. There were 318 Abrahams. Because Abraham Abrahamized them. That's why 318 men defeated four kings. It's not possible. They didn't have chariots.
They didn't have weapons. There were no records. But God had told Abraham before. He said, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So Abraham is bigger than the nations. And so Abraham can be bold. If they can make them Abrahams, one of them can take the nations. That was what the man did. So the sons of Abraham and the servants of Abraham were all taught. That's why Jethro was the one who came to teach Moses how to divide men into ranks. He said, this work will weary you. He said, raise captains of thousands, captains of 100, captains of 50, captains of 10. He knew the ways of God. So he told Moses, there is a spirit on that mountain. Elohim dwells there. It's called the mountain of God. And so many times, when Moses is done grazing, he will go to the backside. Well, maybe God can appear today. Maybe God will appear today. A hunger was awakened in him. And he kept going. He kept going until the day the oracle of God stood before him. And from that day, Moses became a city taker. From that day, Moses became an envoy of Zion. From that day, Moses became an ambassador of heaven. And so your discipline is designed to take you to the corridor of hunger. It is when you enter hunger that you become a servant of the glory. That's why you can behold the glory and not be tired. That's why you can stay there and not think about time. Did you not read about Moses? Moses was on top of the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. There was no food, there was no water, but he was too hungry to be satisfied by physical things. And when Moses descended from there, in Exodus 30:29, it said Moses wist not that his face shone. The man had become like a deity. From that day on, everywhere Moses spoke, his voice was like the thunder of God. He had entered something that was beyond the realms of mortals. Discipline is still at the mortal realm. But there is something in you that will only be activated when you cross the great divide. You have to see the God of heaven for yourself. John was speaking in 1 John chapter 1 verse 1. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. It's not a story a pastor told me. It's not a story I read in a book. I started from there. I was inspired. And then I started searching by discipline until a point came that God appeared to me. He said, we handled of the word of life. When you have handled, you have become an ambassador. When you have handled, you have become a witness. And so a man who wants to shine forth the glory of God sufficiently to take and to affect a human civilization must have seen God for himself. He must have touched God for himself. A dimension of God would have appeared through him. Listen, a title cannot make that happen for you. Your position in an institution cannot make that happen for you. You can call yourself a prophet. You can call yourself a president. It doesn't mean you will reign. But when you touch him, even if you don't have a title, your generation will bow to you. When you touch him, even if you don't have a title, the territory will respond when you show up. When you touch him, even if you don't have a title, something must happen. I was told that they decided to honor Daddy Gio in Maryland, in the U.S. because they noticed consistently for more than 10 years that anytime he steps into the land, the crime rate drops. It's not because police became efficient. It's not because there is surveillance. As he enters the land, the demon that inspires people to do crime, the atmosphere over the territory shifts. See, crimes are product of dark atmospheres. I was discussing with my friends last night of the killings in London. Some years ago, it was even more intense. But certain men appeared there and they began to shift the cloud. And when the cloud shifts, men become reasonable. And so this is not church. The police discovered every time they say this man comes, in days, crime just shoots down. What is it about him? So they honored him and gave him a key over the city. Because we now discover that even though you came from Nigeria, you are a global gatekeeper. When you... It's not about the preaching. It's about the entourage that came with him. And so he can enter the city and not preach. The territory knows he came. You don't need to preach for the city to know that you came. When you enter there with sufficient glory, the systems will respond. The demons will know that a being has come here. Because there are registers in the spirit. He said, Jesus we know. Paul we know. Who are you? They know men there. But it's based on the glory they carry. Paul carried so much glory that there were many places he couldn't go. He sent handkerchief. And handkerchief was doing what Paul would have done if he was present. How did demons know the handkerchief? Because there was no announcement that it came from Paul. But the glory upon it is a signature. And so everywhere it went, demons were cast out. So, it's not about the theology of casting out demons. It's about the power to cast out devils. You don't need to argue and say the name of Jesus must be pronounced as Yeshua. Demons don't hear language. They don't understand Aramaic. They don't understand English. What they hear is power. He said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So if you know that your word will not respond to your speakings, except it is encoded with power, there will be hunger to seek the glory. There will be hunger. You can't just be another doctor. You can't just be another lawyer. You can't just be another businessman. The nation is looking for much more than doctors. The nation is looking for much more than lawyers. If they tell you how many doctors and lawyers have graduated from Oxford alone, Oxford alone, you will know that England needs more than doctors. If they tell you how many merchants have done business in this land in millions of pounds, you will know that the nation requires more than a merchant. And so you will heighten your vision a bit more. Because your vision may just be to graduate. Even the first class graduates alone, if they give you their chronicles, you will know that the territory requires much more than that. Now, that's a very good inspiration. That's a very good motivation. Keep it. But over and above it, think beyond certificate. Because destiny is bigger than paper. There's something that must come upon you. Because Christ is in you. And he said, the reason Christ came into you is for a hope. He said that hope is glory. That glory can emit through you. There's a glory that must come out of you. But for that glory to happen, you must journey from inspiration through discipline to hunger. A hunger that overwhelms you and you tell yourself, I will not stop until something supernatural comes from me. Thank God for my certificate. Thank God for my training. Thank God for my business. But I will not stop here. I will not stop here. That's what Paul caught. And he said, according as it is written. He said, they believe and have spoken. We, having the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore we speak. Romans 15 verse 4, the Bible said, the things that were written aforetime. He said, they were written for our learning. So that we, through patience and comfort of the scripture, might have hope. And so you are angry. And you tell yourself, Paul too was a lawyer. But there was something about Paul's life that made many generations after him not to forget him. You tell yourself, Daniel, Nehemiah, they were politicians. But there was something about them that was deeper than politics. They were able to restore the glory of God over nations. You tell yourself, Joseph too was a man in government. But there was something more about him. How could he preserve the heritage of God? Not only over Egypt, but the whole world came to Egypt because of Joseph. What did they carry? There was a glory on their lives. And you will tell yourself, I will not be one of the many doctors. I will not be one of the many lawyers. There has to be a glory on my life. If that kind of hunger is not awakened in your spirit, then it means you've not had encounters. It means you've not had encounters. Encounters come to awaken you to the fullness of your reality. Refuse to be mundane. Thank God for the gym. It's good for health. But the life is bigger than having a broad chest. Thank God for the foundation and mascara. Life is bigger than having a beautiful face. Spirits don't look at the size of your chest. They look at the weight of glory you carry. Spirits don't look at your physical beauty. They look at the authority with which you can command. And so when God created us, He created us to reign in the spirit. And it will take hunger to get there. When you begin to service that hunger, a point comes when you enter into participation. They will now allow you to begin to interact not just with God, but with the beings that live there. It was John that was speaking. He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a sound as of a trumpet. And he said, in Revelation 4 verse 1, he said, I heard that sound again, and a door opened in heaven, and I heard a voice said, come up hither. The moment he entered there, he began to interact with the elders. That was when he said, I saw 24 elders. You begin to talk with beings that are eternal. You begin to talk to beings that are immortal. You will press until you are given access to participate. The men who rule this world, if they tell you the truth, they see things, they hear things, and they attend meetings beyond the stars. Nobody speaks and a million people hear just because they understand English. They touch something in the spirit, either in the demonic or in light. A prophet said he went to see that he had Adeboye, and they kept him outside beyond the normal time for over 4 hours. Somewhere in his heart, he was wondering, what happened today? Did I do something wrong? Am I being edged out? And when daddy allowed him to see him eventually, he said, sorry, I was in a meeting with Isaiah. I know you are in redeem. You didn't hear it. I was in a meeting with Isaiah. And then you think a man can sit in one village called Redemption Camp, and every continent of the world, there are systems bowing because of him. He said when they told him to head the Redeemed Christian Church, he stood in the Redemption Camp and he told God, how can I do this? While he was talking to God, he said light fell from heaven, hit the ground and created an earthquake. He said the impact of the tremor went as far as the boy did. You will now hear him preach, and you are preaching slowly. It's beyond a slow tone. It's beyond a slow tone. He can inspire you. You can aspire to be like him. But there are beings you have seen. The hotel where they prayed for him to take over. The stories we heard was, as they were praying in that hotel, there was a tremor in the United States. There was a tremor. And the engineers came to survey the hotel. They said, which heavy equipment are you using here? They said, no, we are not using any heavy equipment. We are just praying with our tambourine. The engineers had to search the whole room. They didn't see anything. But from that day, they canceled that hotel because of the impact of the foundation. It took over 6 years for him to come back and lay hands on the wall for the hotel to be reopened. Because a man is praying, and the entourage that enters his prayer room are so heavy that foundations of buildings shake. It takes much more than intelligence to be a ruler on earth. You must be granted access. You must be given allowance to participate. When you start entering into the corridor of participation, then scepters begin to rest on you. You say, who shall stand upon the mountains of God? Who shall ascend his holy hills? Because every engagement we carry is with an attempt to ascend the holy hills of God. Because spirits manipulate this realm. And a man who will rule in this realm must have interaction with spirits. That's why I said, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to an innumerable company of angels, to the spirit of just men made perfect. You must meet beings to rule this earth. Even Jesus, in Matthew 17, when he was praying, the Bible said, Moses and Elijah, they stood with him on that mountain, telling him what he must do. You can't go out if your friends are only men, you are weak. You can't have friends, brothers, and they are all men. Men are too weak an ally. They can become great liabilities. In addition to the men God give you, have partners in the spirit. That when you scream, Elijah will come. That when you scream, an angel will appear. That's why the business will not close down. You can build a bank for 30 years. When the bank is about to shine, the government comes and sees it. Unless you also have people on the other side who can touch the heart of the king, you will have a problem. And so the reason men will shine is because they press into God until they began to interact with beings in heaven. The Bible spoke about widows. It said widows received their dead back to life. They came somewhere that they had power over the dead. They came somewhere that they had authority over the dead. The problem we have is that we have forgotten how the fathers did it. The fathers were not naked. The fathers were not ordinary people. They pressed into God until they came somewhere. They were enthroned in the spirit. And when they talk from their thrones. Because we don't have thrones, that's why we compete with ourselves. When you find somebody doing it in a certain way, you too want to do it that way. It's not how it is done alone that makes it work. It's who is doing it with you. There is a place that you have been invited to. There are beings waiting for you. There are realms you should access. Don't be trapped in this world. Don't be carried away by the skyscrapers in Manchester. There's a realm more beautiful than what you see here. There's a place more spectacular than what you see here. When God began to allow me access to the spirit, mundane things stopped moving me. The other time I flew to Dubai, I was in my hotel until I finished. I left straight to the airport. They say, come and do sightseeing. I say, I'm busy. If I want to come for sightseeing, I'll bring my wife. I came for business. There's no time for sightseeing. Because when I enter my room, sometimes an angel of light just walks into you. And you see something you can never forget. You see something you can never become familiar with. If they come to you 1,000 times, it will be like the first time. And anything they tell you. There was a time I was sick. I was afraid. My liver, my lungs, my kidney, every organ was about to fail. I was choking and gasping for air. While I laid on the bed talking to the Lord, a being sat on my bed. The glory he came with, all the hairs on my body stood. I was in shock. And he just said, because I live, you shall see tomorrow. The moment he said it, a being stood up and left me. From that day, I don't fall sick. I can keep the most strenuous routine. I can keep the most strenuous itinerary. Come back the next day, I rise up like a stone. Because a creature of eternity whispered to me, because I live, you shall see tomorrow. And so we are not afraid. Even in the storm we are standing, where men fear to go to, where angels fear to go to, we enter there and we enter with boldness. The first time I went to Pakistan, which is actually once anyway, they told me there was crisis because the prime minister was just removed. And the prime minister was going about creating all kinds of chaos in the nation. But that was when the door opened. I stood up and I entered there. They said, you can't do crusade now. I said, the best way to die is to die in mission. It means you are a gallant soldier. That's how you enter the crown of life. And we had 5 crusades with thousands of people saved. When we finished, we left, nothing happened. Because he said, because I live, you shall live also. That business you are doing, you need to hear something. Sometimes as you are pressing, you are pressing, you are pressing. Then Joseph walks to you and tells you, this is how I took over Egypt. You will have a blueprint that is not found in Oxford. Sometimes you are in government. As you are pressing, you are pressing. Then Nehemiah will come to you and tell you what to do to take the heart of the king. They can seize everybody's property, not you. Because you have heard from a man who was able to get a king to rebuild Jerusalem. And so anything you do, you have the allegiance of the king. Men will come to you and say, how are you doing it? Even you, if you are honest, you will know it's beyond you. There's an immortal economy around you. This is how men begin to shine. Shining is a mystical reality, but there's a protocol. And the protocol is interaction. Who have you seen? What have you heard? Who has spoken to you? United Kingdom is an ancient civilization. For you to touch the foundation, creatures of eternity must talk to you. They must visit you. They must interact with you. And this is not a prerogative of prophets. It's for everyone who is a child of God. He said, because you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to an innumerable company of angels. See, there is something you will touch. You will have favor that you can't explain. Things are not working. Then Esther whispers to you and says, this is what you do to work favor. You can work favor that you can break protocols. You can work favor that kings can bow and lower their standard because of you. It is who you have touched. They come with graces. They come with dimensions. They could be spirit of judgment made perfect. They could be angelic functionaries. They could be visitations of the spirit of God or Christ himself. But by all means, make sure you have those encounters. We don't rule the world by chance. When you see a man doing something that the world pays attention to, is beyond where he's living. There are many people who will leave Africa and come to the UK today, they will become princes. It's not about the location, it's about what you carry. It's about what you carry. If you don't carry anything, if you like, relocate to the palace, you will still be a nobody. But if you, if God rubs that in on you, if you start having those encounters, you don't need to be in the palace. Even the king can look for you, because immortal beings have committed to you immortal realities. A conference like this is a summon. It's a summon that you don't grow old and discover you made no impact. But the door is open. The slate is plain. You can decide what is written on it. You begin from inspiration. You journey through discipline. You come into hunger. And you stay hungry until participation is permitted. Participation. There is a wisdom that you need to have in order to alter the direction of a nation. Daniel had that wisdom. A point came, the Bible said, that the king sent for him. And this was what they said about Daniel. He had the ability to explain hard sentences. He said, the spirit of the holy gods dwell in him. He said, light dwells with this man. And an excellent wisdom. There is a dimension of the Daniel order. If you have that kind of encounter, that wisdom can walk through your life. There is a wisdom Joseph had that made him become the savior of the economic structure of a nation. If you have that Joseph's encounter, that wisdom can come on you. And you can become a force in the economic structure in this nation. Nobody is small. Men just reveal the dimension of their encounters. If you have those encounters, your stature can change. The impact you have on the government, on the nation can change. It's not even about where you came from. This is not, I came from Nigeria, I came from Uganda, I came from Rwanda, I came from Kenya. That's not the factor. The factor is what are the encounters you've had. If you have the right encounter, is it not somebody that came from Pakistan who is your prime minister today? What are the encounters you've had? It's not about where you came from in the natural. It's about where you have been in the spirit. When you even consider his age, you are humbled. Church is not religion. It's a place of awakening the glory, so that everyone can walk in that order. And when you begin to participate, then you are sent. You are sent into the economy. You are sent into the media. You are sent into the academia. And you come with resources. Resources of wisdom. Resources of power. Resources of creativity. Resources of excellence. That's how we take over. You don't go into the world to go to God. You go to God to go into the world. He said he called some to be with him so that he might send them. If you have not been sent, it means you have not yet gone there. Because everyone who has participated have been sent somewhere. There are some apostles who teach from the altar, but there are other apostles who takes over the economy. There are other apostles who take over the academia. And every one of us in the New Testament, we are to be sent into our world. Jesus said, go into all the worlds and disciple all nations. But you don't go without a witness. You don't go without an empowerment. That's why he said, tarry until you are endued with power. Tarry until you are endued with power. When you are endued, then you can take over your world. How beautiful it will be when suddenly the nation begins to be reshaped. And you find somebody with black skin making the policy. Not because he is black skinned, but because he has touched something that is superior to skin color. How beautiful it will be when the nation is being reshaped and you see young lads, old persons, all working out a protocol that brings the glory of God to the territory. Because they met him. He said that which was from the beginning, which we have seen. We heard, we saw, we looked upon, and we handled. Men are being invited to handle the glory. And it's as we handle the glory that we can radiate the glory. Can we bow our heads and pray now? You want to talk to the Lord sincerely this morning? There are some of us, what we lack is the discipline. You start praying, after 1 week, prayer dies.
You start studying. After 1 week, study dies. The only thing you are able to do is what you are regimented to do, either by your job or by an institution you belong to. Can we ask God for the discipline? Some of us here, we lack the encounters that trigger hunger, passion for immortal things. We are easily satisfied. Too satisfied. When Mary Magdalene went to the tomb of Jesus, she saw the napkin, she was not satisfied. She saw two angels, she was not satisfied. She wanted to see the master. Where have you kept him? Our hunger level is too shallow. Anything that happens is fine. No, it ought not to be. There are some of us, we've never interacted with anything that is eternal or any being from the realm of God. Even the world has not come alive to us before. Everything is dead. And that's why we are as cold as the United Kingdom. Can we ask God for those encounters, for access in this realm? For access. And then some of us, we've not been commissioned. We've not been commissioned to the academia. We've not been commissioned to business. We've not been commissioned to sport. That's why we are struggling to enter. We are being edged out. We use human connection, it doesn't work. Because we've not been commissioned. If you are commissioned, you will come there with authority. The sport world cannot edge you out. The entertainment world cannot edge you out. But you need to be commissioned. Can we ask for that this morning? When you are there, 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 when you are there. Can we stand up and lift our hands now? When you are there, 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 when you are there. Before I came for this meeting this morning, I had some promptings in my spirit of some of the things the Lord would do, and I asked him for the grace to allow me to teach so I can register what I've taught this morning as a witness in the heart of someone. But you see, it's beyond teaching. After Jesus taught his disciples for 3 years and 3 years plus, he told them, wait until you are endued with power from on high. It's beyond teaching. There's a power that makes happen the things that we communicate. This morning, I have just about 5 more minutes. 3 things are about to happen here. God is about to release mantles, spiritual empowerment to men so they can take over. Lift your hands toward heaven. It doesn't have to be loud for things to happen. When God speaks, His Spirit animates it. Just be sensitive in the quietness of this place. Father, this is the hour for the mantles to rest upon your people, for the unctions to be released, for the empowerment to come. I want to lay hands on these people quickly
Because there's a weight of glory about to descend upon them. They will take over parliament, the academia, the economy. Different graces just beginning to gush out of them. Holy Spirit, there are seven persons you want to quicken to this morning, because you're about to bring an end to an era so that a new beginning can start. The oil that makes, the oil that empowers, the oil that lifts, the spirit of revival, the fire from the presence of God. Everyone you have numbered this morning, in this hall, in the overflow, online, now, Holy Spirit, let that fire rest upon them. Ushers, you will help me now. You will help me now. Take that fire. Take that fire. Bring them to the altar. Towards my left, I see light breaking out. Everyone, God is bringing into light by the Spirit of the Living God. Take that light now. Arakiba Talakados. Some of you are going to receive now. You will have authority to take over systems. It looks as if the system is too rigid. No, it's not. The system is not too rigid. Help that mama there. The system is not too rigid. You need a scepter. Father, all through this place, everyone, that the system is about to vomit, that the powers are against, right now, by the Spirit, I stretch hands over them. In the name of Jesus the Lord, take that power. Take that power. You will run.
You ancient Zion King, Kadosh, Kadosh. You are mighty.
Take over the systems. Take over the systems.
You ancient Zion King, Kadosh, Kadosh. You are mighty.
You run.
You ancient Zion King, Kadosh, Kadosh.
came to Pharaoh. Hear this. Moses came to Pharaoh and said, let my people go that they may serve me. And Pharaoh asked him, who is your God that I should obey him? Listen, you can't speak English to this territory. English originated here. What this territory will hear is power. Every time you come with human philosophy, the territory will ask you, who is your God? He wants to know who your God is. And right now, hear this. God wants to raise miracle workers. Men that carry power beyond language. When they see wonders, they will bow. They say, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength, that thou mightest silence the voice of the avengers. Please lift your hands toward heaven. There's a power that is about to hit here, like the wind. Carriers of power. Carriers of power. Carriers of power. Take that power now. Power, power. Be clothed with the garment of power. In the name of Jesus, I'm out of time, but hear this. Some of you are about to be drunk in the Holy Ghost. It looks as if the territory is too hard. It has made you lukewarm. You can't pray. You can't seek God. You can't even come to church because of the weakness. He said, be not drunk with wine. Therein is excess. There is a drunkenness that comes by the Spirit. Please lift your hands toward heaven one more time. The river is about to break out because there's a wine of the Spirit that does not intoxicate but is set on fire. Father, wherever they are in this hall, in the overflow, online, I release the freshness of the Spirit. I release the freshness of the Spirit. I release the freshness of the Spirit. I release that freshness. Help the sister behind. I release that freshness. Take that wine. Take that wine. Take that wine. Help them, help them, help them. Take that wine. Take that wine. Hey-ya-ya. 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 Manchester, revival is upon your borders. Revival is upon your borders. Hearts that were cold, souls that were lukewarm, I come to you with the fire that burns in the presence. Hear this. Hear this. It's not only power that takes a civilization. In addition to power, you need wisdom. Because if there is power without wisdom, it will become zeal without knowledge. And even though you have power, you may not make impact. Lift your hands toward heaven. The excellent wisdom you need in order to strategically permeate the city, permeate the land, and bring the glory of God. Right now, that wisdom is about to be released. Some of you need wisdom on your job. Some of you need wisdom on your business. Some of you need wisdom in all your spheres of engagement. It takes wisdom for penetration. It takes wisdom for establishment. It takes wisdom for takeover. Father, in the name of Jesus, please hear me. Please hear me. Lift your hands toward heaven. There is a baptism of wisdom about to take place now. Father, in the name of Jesus, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, to the overflow, to those on life. That excellent wisdom that was upon Daniel, that was upon Solomon, that is upon Jesus, I release it now. Take that wisdom. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Some of you will walk out of this meeting and collide with angels. Some of you will leave this meeting, the word of God will lift from the scripture and be pressed on your heart, and you were born, you were born like a furnace for Jesus. My God, my God, I'm seeing somebody being clothed with the garment of fire. It's the spirit of the evangelist, the rugged spirit of the evangelist. Wherever they are now, ushers, help them. This one is violent. This one is violent. Take that fire now. Please help my sister. The fire of the evangelist, like Jonah, who went to Nineveh and prophesied, and from the king to the animals, there was a revival. I release that fire now.
Out of my belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living waters.
Help mama to sit.
Out of my belly.
Help mama. Help mama to sit down.
Rivers of living waters.
Out of my belly shall flow.
Out of my belly
shall flow rivers. Rivers of living waters. Out of my belly shall flow. Shall flow rivers, rivers of living waters. Out of my belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living waters. Hear this. You are a doctor. You are about to set that hospital on fire for Jesus. You are a footballer. You are an entertainer. A new fire is about to break out of you. You are not only dominating and taking over, but you will shine forth like the stars. I release that grace. I release that grace. I release that grace. I release that grace. Out of my belly shall flow
rivers, rivers of living water.
Out of my belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living waters. Out of my belly shall flow.
Out of my belly
shall flow. Out of my belly shall flow, my belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living waters. Those of you in the choir, stretch your hands towards me. Somebody is about to be lifted. Your voice is about to become stronger than opium. You are about to intoxicate the land with the fire of God. The Lord is about to anoint one of you for extraordinary dimension. Behind me, beside me, by the Spirit, that one God is empowering. Take that fire. Take that fire. Help him. Take that fire. Take that fire. Out of my belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Out of my belly shall flow. Manchester is about to engulf with the fire of the Holy Ghost.
Rivers of living waters. Out of my belly shall flow.
Now hear this. Afflictions are about to go down. Afflictions. Take that fire. Take that fire. Afflictions are about to go down. Every growth in your body, they are about to melt. The yokes of sickness, it doesn't matter for how long it has been there. Father, in the name of Jesus, please pay attention. Please pay attention. Father, in the name of Jesus. My God. My God. My God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. People have been drunk with the fresh wine of the Spirit. People have been drunk. Yes, yes, yes. Take that fire, sister. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, Yeshua. Hamashiach. Lion of Judah. Agune Jemba. Yeshua Hamashiach, Lion of Judah, Adonai Chemba.
Yeshua Hamashiach,
Lion of Judah, Adonai Chemba. Yeshua,
Yeshua.
The power of God is on you. Take that power. Yeshua! Leferano Saparita. Sister, take that power. Mariga Pareko Cesar. Lord, set on fire. Regemano Bariata. Aziza Kalish. Tanigana Saragata. Bring her here. Yeshua.
Hamashia.
Yeshua,
Yeshua,
brother,
take
that fire,
Lion of Judah,
take that fire,
Lion of Judah.
Yeshua,
Yeshua, Hamashiach, Lion of Judah, Adonai Chemah. Oh, Yeshua,
Yeshua, Hamashiach, the presence of God, it breaks upon you. It's time to take over.
Yeshua, Hamashiach, Lion of Judah, oh, Agune Chemba. Yeshua, Hamashiach, Lion of Judah.
Yeshua,
Yeshua, Hamashiach, Lion of Judah.
I'm seeing something like a light in the middle there, and God is telling me He's opening doors for someone. Father, I ask that the anointing comes upon that one by the Holy Spirit. Whoever is opening that door for, take that grace now. Take that grace. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hear this. We're out of time, but afflictions are about to leave. You feel that pain on your body, put your hand there. Growths are about to dematerialize. Bones are about to be fixed. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over the spirit of affliction. Allow them under God's presence. Don't stress them. Sister, come here. There is a grace on you. More by the Spirit. Lift your hands toward heaven. Father, I take authority over the spirit of infirmity. In the name of Jesus, I command your hold. Break now. I command your hold. Break now. Deafening spirits, blinding devils, demons that make mad, demons of infirmity, organ infections, blood conditions, bone conditions, in the name of Jesus, receive your healing now. I command those powers, break now. Break now. Pains be gone. Ears open. Eyes see. Blood be cleansed. Mind be made whole. Bones be healed. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and receive. 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 Wholeness. And some of you, it's not just your bodies. God is healing your finances. God is healing your job. God is healing your relationships. I command every form of affliction, break now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 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 Give Him praise and receive. Give Him praise. Give Him praise. The Lord is touching people. The Lord is touching people. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Brother, there's a mantle on you. You are growing in influence. You are growing in influence. Something is breaking from your inside that is going to begin to take systems. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release that grace upon him now. I release that grace upon him now. The power that was on Daniel become 10 times better. In the name of Jesus, take over systems. Thank you, Father. Worship him. Worship him. Mental disorder is being fixed. Blood conditions being fixed. Eye conditions, ear conditions. Worship him now. Autistic conditions have been healed by the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yeshua HaMashiach Ayoshua Agunechemba.
One more time, can we just soak into that glory? Help me, sir. Apostle, I want you to place this handkerchief on that sister on the pink dress. There's a strong prophetic anointing on her life. That sister with the pink dress. Yes. Lift your hands. There's a strong prophetic unction. Take that power.
La 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 la.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
La 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 la.
Somebody's been healed of an infection. It's like a genital infection towards my left here. It's a strange issue. The Lord has touched you. Please help Mama. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. As you leave this service, sustain this decorum. Some of you, as you get to your homes, it will break out of you. Allow the Holy Ghost. Something is about to change. Because it's not just men God is setting on fire. Revival is about to hit this land. A move has begun. A river has been stirred. Excuse me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. Can we be quiet just for a minute? And let this thing rest on you. Forget about your neighbor. Just be sensitive to Jesus. Just be sensitive to Jesus. Just a moment. So you can carry something with you. Seen something break out like a fountain. It's the operation of the prophetic. Somebody came here with that unction, but you've lost it. It's a fountain. It's gushing out. It's the operation, the river of the prophetic. It has been shut, but now it opens again. Please help them. I'm saying something like a star being placed on somebody's forehead, and not too long from now, the clubs from this region, your name, they'll start singing it. Please help them. The clubs. Many years ago, we heard of men like Beckham, Van Nistelrooy, but they didn't stand for the kingdom. You will shine even brighter from these same clubs. But you will be known as a man, a servant of Jesus. I see that star come upon someone. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and you are robbed. Please be patient with me. I'm rounding up. You know, the glory is like dew. It rests. It takes time. It rests. So just open your heart. Let it rest on you. People are being given keys. And what it means is that limitations, barriers, and heights that men can't cross, especially those of you with black origin, keys have been given to you to break those corridors, to break those limitations, to go beyond those corridors. Hey. We speak to the atmosphere over this city called Manchester. We command you to open. Let the dark cloud shift. The cloud of gay, the cloud of lust over entertainment. We command those clouds to dissipate. Let the glory of God descend like the stars of heaven. We call forth for a new move of the Spirit. The wind of the Spirit blows and it carries men. It carries men. The door of revival opens. Men will gather again, but not just for football, but to celebrate the King, the Monarch, the Excellency of the Christ. Yeah. The horn of the apostolic will emerge from this land. A brutal takeover, an emancipation campaign in light is about to break forth. And sons and daughters of light will rise up with new garments. Garments of righteousness. Burning like the furnace. While you are sleeping, you have encounters. While you are trading, you have encounters. Something will start falling on men. And a quorum will be formed in the spirit. A new government is about to be born that is ancient and everlasting. The government of the Christ in its purest form. That which was lost from this land aeons ago is being restored. The labors of the fathers, of the patriarchs, the labors of the patriarchs, like George Jeffrey, ancient men that stirred the rivers of revival, their labors will be awoken again. It will be like it was in the days of John Knox, where men walked through the borders of England, of Scotland, and the powers of the monarch submitted to them. Even the rod of the miraculous. The rod of the miraculous. That the like of Smith Wigglesworth, they wielded over this city, over this nation, and to the nations of the world. Those ancient things you studied about and read of, they will come again. The Wesleys of the new era, they will be born. The Jeffreys will be born. And men will come here to catch this fire and to take it to Europe, to Italy, to Belgium, to Germany, and a fire will erupt. We speak by the Spirit. You will not hear of it. You will be part of it. Lift your hands. That's your sacrifice. He said, let the lifting of your hands be as the evening sacrifice. Don't get tired. Worship Him. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a shout. Some of you have been touched. Something fell on you. And some of you, something left you. It's the hand of God. If the Lord touched you this morning, please help my sister. Be careful with them. The operation of the Spirit is still ongoing. If you sense the touched, and maybe you receive the healing, can you wave? If you receive the healing, a healing, can you see that? Do we have Yoruba singers here? With energy. That's not energy. Stop. Reboot. David Marshall is here. If you have sensed a touch, quick, please come. We may not take all the testimonies, but let's just glorify God because of you. You've sensed a touch or a healing or something. You waved your hand. Can you come?
Why, Mama? Just strike. Can you come? I saw hands. Those of you who waved your hands, please come.
Alagbara to jara lo. Alagbara to jara lo. Alagbara to jara lo. Ohun gangan lo dara. Ohun gangan lo dara. Alagbara to jara lo. Ohun gangan lo bi ara. Ohun lo ma ara wa si aye. Alagbara to jara lo. Eya Juda o.
Eya Juda.
This morning, are you just looking like that? Give Jesus the praise. Wow, glory to God. Can you come a bit closer? Let's have a clear demarcation. Dear Lord, dear Lord, we can't take the testimonies, obviously. Maybe we'll just take two. If you feel we should hear what God has done, something tangible happened to you, you feel we should just take your testimony, just one or two persons. Can the pastor help me? Just one, two persons. You had an ear condition, you were healed, or an eye condition. There's a growth in your body, it left. Something. Can we take one or two? Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I've been having this severe back pain.
Severe back pain.
I don't know. It's so painful that when I need to get up from the chair, it's, you know, I feel it. And I had to see a physiotherapist for that when it was.
So a physiotherapist.
Yes, when it was really getting so much. But now I felt the hand of God and
the pain is gone. Wow. Glory to God. Glory to God. Is there anybody who was healed of an ear condition? You couldn't hear well or something? Or an eye condition? Is there anybody here like that? You had an eye issue? Is there anybody? Or there's a growth? Somebody, you had a growth or something? A growth left your body? Mama, you had a growth? Or you had an eye issue? Let's hear from Mama. Is there anybody who had a growth in your body that left you? A growth vanished from your body? Mama, come. You had a growth condition. What was the issue?
My lymph nodes were my armpit, both armpits. And I had pain all over my body.
You had growth in your armpit?
Yeah.
A growth. What happened now?
It's all gone.
The growth is gone. Wow. Praise God. How many of you had bone issues? Maybe that's it. You had an issue with the bone. What happened? Keep by a microphone.
I relocated from Germany to UK.
Yes.
When I was in Germany, I was working then I fell from my client. I fell down.
You fell?
So yes, I fell. So I had this operation twice on my knee.
Operation twice on your knee.
On my
yes
knee. Since then I've been having this serious pain on my knee. Even my husband knows about it. But this morning, because I was in church, I quickly went home to come and take some to go and take something. When I came back, when I listened to the sermon, then I just felt something just left my body.
Something left your body?
Something left my body. And this my clean. Whenever I'm walking, I always feel the pain. I feel heavy.
Oh,
but
dear.
Now I'm lighter. Yeah.
And the pain?
The pain. The left one.
The pain is gone.
Yes, it's gone. Yeah.
Glory to God. You want to say something? Wow. Yes, what happened?
I had a knee pain while I was playing football. And it was really serious.
You are a footballer?
Yeah. Now
it's all
gone.
It's all gone. Glory to God. Glory to God. You want to say something? What happened to you? You come back. Lift your hands toward heaven. We're out of time. You can write in your testimony, so we thank God for you and we glorify God on your account. But I decree in the name of Jesus, your miracle is permanent. It will not be stolen from you. You will walk in it, and through you, men will come to glorify God. And I decree that over and above this miracle, let there be an all-round intervention in your life. And because everyone here is celebrating this miracle, I decree that they have their own miracles. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the Lord keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, lift up his countenance over you, and give you peace. All the days of your life you are blessed. And from today, is from glory to glory. So let it be written. So let it be established. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a shout!
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.